And welcome back to another episode of the BisonReport.com radio podcast, this being your breakdown and preview editions as we get into the conundrum of a game that was NDSU versus UND. Just an interesting performance from this Bison squad, and we also preview the big game tomorrow against South Dakota State NDSU versus SDSU. And joining me, as always, is my co-host, Ross Uglum. Ross, how are you doing today?
I'm doing well. Getting excited, obviously, for tomorrow. Got some really good friends coming in for the game. Should be a real early morning in the tailgate lots. I think those open up, the reserved lots at 5:30 and the public lot at 6. Should be eggs and wakey-wakey eggs and bakey.
All right, so let's get into it here. Let's get into the news part. First, we got to talk a little bit of injury news on a couple of Bison players. Sounds like there's a few key guys that could be some game-time decisions, Ross.
Yeah, certainly. I mean, nobody expects, obviously, Nick DeLuca or Nate Tangway to play in this game. Those guys have been designated out for the season. But other than that, North Dakota State has come upon some good luck as far as health has been concerned towards the end of the season, and really only has Darius Shepherd and Pierre G. Tucker to worry about. Both guys were held out last week against San Diego, Tucker with the knee, and Shepherd with a hamstring issue, and both guys seem to be a game-time decision, according to my sources within the program. Probably not going to know one way or the other up until kickoff, so when go inside, basically, are they wearing street clothes or not?
So, I'm sure we'll get into it a little bit later, but I'm kind of greedy right now, so what do you think? Does Pierre G. Does G. Tucker play, and does Darius Shepherd play?
I would guess that they'll both play. I'm much more interested to know Shepherd's situation because I don't know that much about what he did to his hamstring. I was around him a little bit on the sideline in the last game, seemed to be walking without a limp, but that doesn't mean a whole heck of a lot as it pertains to running, cutting, things like that. Tucker, I feel pretty confident about. I don't think he'd miss this game. MCL issues, he's now 3 full weeks removed from the incident, and we were told right away that it wasn't a tear. And so partial tear, a strain of the MCL, you're looking right at where he should be able to go. So I would anticipate Tucker playing. Shep, I don't know as much about.
All right, then let's get into the next topic, which seems to be quite the thing on social media this week, and that's intro video gate. Looks like the NCAA came down with the ruling. I saw a couple of NDSU coaches talking about it this week as well. So why don't you fill our listeners in?
Yeah, we were. The media was given a statement directly from the NCAA, basically saying that their interest is to give the fans the best possible experience, yada, 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 and that they have reversed their decision and will allow the normal introduction videos to be played at each host site, also allowing the opposing team the option of playing their video. Well, in an environment like the Fargo Dome, I mean, that doesn't really work because NDSU would play the Thunderstruck video and then South Dakota State would play their video to, you know, a chorus of boos. I actually happen to know that South Dakota State has declined to play their video, so this will be unlike any other, or this will be just like any other home playoff game, any other home game, really, at North Dakota State. I would anticipate South Dakota State staying in the tunnel until NDSU has played their intro video, probably not coming out until that has been accomplished, and it'll be just like any other game, really, which is, I think, you know, good news for the fans. I think it's a fun part of the game, something I certainly look forward to. It's been fun to be on the field this season for the intro, and it's something that recruits really appreciate.
So what do you think about SDSU declining their chance to have their video shown? Smart decision, or do you think that's something, or where are you at with it?
Well, I got a piece coming out today about the tone of this rivalry switching, and I really do think that that's a true statement and something that they understand as well in South Dakota State. This used to be this rivalry full of respect, kind of a brothers-in-arms type of thing, because South Dakota State was the school that chose to go into these Division I waters with NDSU, but it's gotten real testy over the last couple of years. I think part of that has to do with playing each other so often, and part of that probably has to do with NDSU's success in generating this big brother, little brother type of dynamic. So for them not to show their intro video, I think is probably pretty smart, because to be honest with you, at this point, with as angry as NDSU is with them, is with the NCAA, these fans, despite having to get up early in the morning, are going to be about as rowdy as I can remember. And why rile them up with putting a bunch of South Dakota State hype video stuff on the boards? I mean, I think they're going to have enough of a problem as it is.
All right, so let's get into this NDSU basketball game from Wednesday. Just an interesting game, I guess. Not the way that we were projecting it to go. Ends up being a 74-56 loss for NDSU at home, an 18-point home loss to this North Dakota team. Just 1 of 20 from three, amongst other things, Ross. It just was not the Bison's night, and they have to figure out how to get back on track here.
Yeah, I mean, I would say it probably wasn't an 18-point loss. Just the way that it felt, the way that the game was going, it was down to five. It generally really hovered around that 10-point mark, but one of the more embarrassing losses in the history of NDSU Division I basketball. This is not a school or a team that has lost a lot of home games, period. Not a school that's lost a lot of games to UND. And this was just brutal. I mean, this was domination, really, by the Fighting Hawks, and not something I think that Bison fans or the coaching staff are real proud of, how this whole thing went down. So it was a tough pill to swallow. Richmond mentioned that certainly in the post-game comments, said this one was going to stay with him for a while, and I can understand that. This was pretty brutal.
I mean, 13 turnovers to 5 assists, that's something that's not going to win you a lot of ball games either. And you look at the free throw line, just pitiful. 7 of 16 from the free throw line, 13 turnovers to 5 assists. Just, this is a game tape I think you should probably burn.
Yeah, no question about that. That was one thing about it, too, that has me less concerned, was just that I didn't think NDSU played that poorly. They were still running their offense, getting open shots that just weren't going in. You can fix that. Sometimes, you know, that just is luck as well, as far as shots going in one way or the other. I'm not saying that North Dakota got lucky. I'm just saying that NDSU is not 18 points worse than UND. They don't need to come up with 18 points of improvement. They just need to shoot the ball a little bit better, certainly come out a little bit stronger at the beginning of the game. But, I just was impressed with the way that UND came out. I think this was, you know, it has a chance to be one of the more important games on their schedule. You have to remember, you know, UND has not had the type of success that NDSU has had at the Division I level. If you go back and look through kind of the history of North Dakota men's basketball, it could frankly be argued that the three biggest wins in the history of their program are the three times that they've beat NDSU. They don't have any high major wins. They've never been to an NCAA tournament. This is a school that really focuses on beating NDSU. I think it was a huge deal for that program.
And one of the really, I mean, when you look at the stats here, Paul Miller continues to be in quite the slump. 0 of 8 from the field, just couldn't get anything going throughout the game. And then Kai Cabelas, the guy who last season really was a catalyst in that NDSU victory, goes 1 of 10 from the field. You're not going to win a lot of games, Ross, when Kai and Paul go 1 of 18 from the field.
Brutal shooting performance up and down, 1 for 20 from three. You know, if they shoot at 40% from three or even 35% from three, there's your margin of victory. Terrible from the free throw line as well, 7 for 16. And then Cabelas and Miller going 1 for 18 is a huge deal. I don't think Paul Miller's healthy right now. He had some real issues walking without a limp between plays. When, you know, timeouts, things like that, he was held out for a large part of the first half. He's a much better player, I think, than he is showing right now. And it's tough to watch. Tough to watch him struggle in this manner because just how good of a player he is. and how important he's going to be long term. Like I mentioned, I mean, this is just a non-conference game in December. In the big picture, the small picture is you always want to beat UND. This is a big-time deal for the fans. There's no question about it. For what the team actually wants to accomplish, not such a big deal. But you got to have your most important players healthier long into the season. And Miller was really struggling to shoot it. He was struggling to move around. I thought maybe this was a chance to get Tyson Ward some really important minutes. But, yeah, 1-for-18 from Kai and Paul is just not going to get it done.
The one guy that really had about the game of his life, and I don't think he could do anything more, is Dexter Werner. He was absolutely sensational, 30 total points on 12 of 13 shooting. That is the epitome of efficiency, 13 boards, 3 steals, a block, and an assist. Dexter did everything. I mean, he accounted for over half the team's points, Ross. He was trying to do everything he could, to keep this Bison team in the game, but it was just wasn't enough.
Yeah, it's a Bison team that's built around perimeter players, built around perimeter shooting. Jacobson was leading the free world in three-point percentage at the beginning of the year. Cabellas and Miller, you know, are important guys, and that's all around Dexter Werner. And the perimeter players just didn't show up, so it was the Dex show. And he, as you mentioned, he sure did his darndest to keep the Bison in this game, just destroy the interior defenders from UND. And I think if you get, you know, even an average game from the Bison perimeter players, this is a pretty comfortable NDSU win. But they were just god-awful, and they were god-awful defensively, and they were god-awful on offense. So as Richmond said, I mean, it's mean to say, but the rest of the team wasted this performance from Werner. And like I said, it's tough to talk about, but that's flat-out what happened.
And when you look on the other side of things for North Dakota, we'll get to Quentin Hooker in a bit, but it was Geno Crandall, their leading scorer on the game, 24 total points. He was efficient from behind the arc, and he was efficient at the free throw line. He was really the catalyst for the Fighting Hawks against the Bison.
And you could tell that the Bison weren't scouting him to do that because a number of players, coaches, whatever, that were interviewed mentioned how poorly Crandall was shooting the ball coming into that game. He was not playing well this season. But to be honest, as we talked about, as far as their previous schedule is concerned, North Dakota wasn't playing well coming into this game. This, I think, was the game of the Fighting Hawks' life, and that definitely extends to Crandall. Not a player that you would assume would have that much of an impact on the game, certainly, and he did. He was very, very good and was a problem for the Bison all night.
And when you look at Quentin Hooker, obviously we talked about him coming into this game. He's their leading scorer. He was an All-American last season. If you were to have told me, Ross, that Quentin Hooker goes 1 of 10 from the field, 0 of 5 from 3, and scores 4 total points, I'd tell you NDSU won by 20-plus, and it's in the other direction. But NDSU did a fantastic job on Quentin Hooker.
Yeah, specifically Kai Cabellas. I mean, they switched a lot of stuff, but I was, as I should have been, I was glued to watching Hooker on most of UND's possessions. He's a senior. He's going to be, you know, out of the rivalry after this season, and he was bottled up. And that's something that, on the bright side, Cabellas is going to be able to do to opposing point guards because, you know, Hooker's a short mid-major point guard, just like a lot of the short mid-major point guards that NDSU is going to play this season. And he struggled with Cabellas's length. He you could see his eyes go up looking for a shot, but just knowing that it was going to be heavily contested or maybe even blocked, Kai was in his head. And you know, it's tough. Like you said, you talk about Werner with 30 points. You talk about holding Hooker to 4 points. We should be talking about an NDSU victory, and it was not that close of a UND victory. So definitely, you know, go back to the drawing board, burn the tape type of deal. There's no question about it.
And when you look at the upcoming schedule for this Bison squad, they come back and play a home game against UC Davis on Wednesday. But a week from today, they have to head up to Grand Forks. So what are you anticipating in the rematch a week from today?
I mean, I think that that's going to be a big game for the Bison. For what they want to accomplish, it's not important. But just from a sense of Bison pride, and the basketball team talks about Bison pride just as much as the football team does, it's going to be important to these kids, especially Dexter Werner, who's a North Dakota native and a North Dakota native and a senior, an outgoing senior. For him to get swept by UND as a senior would really be an issue. That UC Davis game's a big one. I know last season the opening win at Davis was a big deal because of how good they were in their league. And I think that the Bison are looking to continue that success against Davis. That was a home and home to get them a home game this season. It'll be one of the better non-conference opponents the Bison have had inside the Shield Center. But that used to be, as Werner said in the post game, that this was something that the Bison used to protect, this home court. And they did not protect anything against UND. So that'll be something to watch for sure. Ryan, what do you have for us in football and men's basketball recruiting?
So in football recruiting this weekend, I can confirm that NDSU is going to have an official visitor on campus. The issue is I can't exactly tell you who it is. I know that's really annoying. Trust me, I'm well aware. But the kid is currently committed to another school in the Midwest, and he's kind of being brought in. You know, neither the NDSU coaching staff nor this recruit wants anybody to know who he is, because, again, he's committed to another school and he doesn't want to screw things up there. So I am anticipating an official visitor there. And then when you look at the other top targets for this Bison football coaching staff, a lot of the guys are taking other visits this weekend. I believe Antoine Sims, the running back from Florida, he's going to be heading up to Boston College this weekend. Jake Springer, the safety that just came up from Missouri, he has a top two of NDSU in South Dakota, and he's taking an official visit to South Dakota this weekend. And then Rayvante Holt, the defensive tackle from Sacramento, who visited that first weekend of November, he's going to be taking an official visit to Wyoming. So again, NDSU is just basically in a wait-and-see mode with most of these guys, but they are going to have an official visitor on campus for this South Dakota State game this weekend, Ross. And let's get into that South Dakota State preview. And I believe we should start by talking about the piece that you're going to have coming out today.
Yeah, as I mentioned, I've been talking about and sort of thinking about and writing about the way that this rivalry is evolving from something that was sort of, you know, respectful and kind of we're in this together type thing. I think I even wrote about that when I was discussing you and I a season ago, how that you and I rivalry is sort of filled with disdain and is different from the one with South Dakota State. This one is with the Jacks is turning into quite the contentious rivalry as well. I mean, we're going to discuss some of the things that have led to that specifically this season, but going back, it's not hard to see how this happened. There's no question about it. So that's something that I would say will be out probably just shortly after lunch. And then because the game is so early, I would anticipate publishing the game preview probably later in the afternoon or the evening, just so people have a chance to check it out. I generally would drop those in the morning before the game, but the game's in the morning, so we're not going to do that this time.
So there's going to be a couple of pieces coming out in the Bison Report. So by the time you probably listen to this, I would be heading over to the BisonReport.com to read a couple of Ross's pieces. But I believe there's also some comments made about the intro video from the South Dakota side of things, or South Dakota State side of things, excuse me. You want to fill our listeners in?
Yeah, so this is kind of when we're going to talk about a few of the things that have happened. Coach Stiglmeyer actually went on Fargo Air and said that this was not meant to be an NDSU home contest. That was his opinion on the intro video situation, which is not going to help his standing with Bison fans. And that's maybe not what he's trying to accomplish. He probably doesn't care what NDSU fans think of him, but it's not going to help the atmosphere for his offense either, because this is a Bison playoff crowd that's pretty legendary, and to irritate them in this manner just does not seem like a sensible thing to do. Kind of seems, honestly, a little bit whiny, if you ask me, going on Fargo Air and complaining about an intro video, but you could certainly turn around and say that Bison fans and media have been whining about not getting to play it. So I understand that there are two sides to the issue, but for a head coach to say that about the playoffs sounds like sour grapes. I mean, I think the short answer is play better during the regular season and get your squad the home field throughout. And they certainly had that chance. I think their loss to Illinois State probably cost them home field throughout the playoffs because they would have had just the one FCS loss, and that would have been it. But they didn't. They ended up at the 8th seed. We thought they should have been the 7, but they weren't. So that's, you know, what they say about all that kind of stuff. If you don't want me to celebrate, keep me out of the end zone. It's kind of the same thing. If you don't want to go to Fargo, have a better season.
And for those who don't remember, this should be a revenge game for Bruce Anderson for a number of different reasons, but the biggest one being, I believe this was the game where Bruce got injured on a cheap shot. Am I wrong, Russ?
No, you're not wrong. That is something that is fresh in the minds of Bison fans. And another thing that I was going to mention about this rivalry getting a little bit nasty is you could tell, and I have a ton of respect for Coach Stig, but this is now the second time during his tenure that a prominent Bison player has been cheap-shotted in the regular season by a South Dakota State player. Levon Perry lost the rest of his senior season to a knee injury suffered against South Dakota State, and you could tell that freshman linebacker Christian Rosenboom knew that that Anderson had a ankle issue going into that last South Dakota State game, because you watch when Anderson went out of the game, what happened in that pile was a clear. I mean, he was down and Rosenboom was cranking on that ankle and he twisted it, and I mean, it was dirty. Anderson was lost for the rest of the regular season. It was a dirty play. There's no other way to really talk about it. I'm not trying to be biased one way or the other, but there's just no place for that. And I think Kleiman might have even mentioned that I don't think he called out the play specifically, but said that there was no place for how Anderson was injured. So that's definitely going to be a point of contention. I would anticipate you know, Rosenboom specifically getting booed during this game, and for good reason. They're a rivalry that has certainly had its fires stoked.
And when you look at the last game, SDSU with a 19-17 victory at the Fargo Dome, 9 points in the fourth quarter, and that last second touchdown that could have been called pass interference one way or the other. But what are you taking away from this last game, looking forward to tomorrow's game?
Well, I mean, you have to take a lot from that game. I think the fact that it was only a last-second loss is sort of questionable in the sense that, you know, the Bison were outgained a lot. SDSU had 500-plus yards of offense. That was one of the worst defensive performances from the Bison in a long, long time, and I don't think really there's any argument about that. It was a struggle, and I think you have to be worried if you're a Bison fan about that specific number, that 500 to 300 yardage difference, because that could have been a Jacks blowout. Now, are the Jacks that much better than the Bison? No. I mean, I think you can see the overall body of work, and, you know, anything can happen on any given Saturday, yada, yada, yada. I would still think that the Bison are the better team there, favored by 9.5 points, but there are a lot of things from that game that need to be cleaned up, or the Bison are probably not going to win on Saturday with a similar performance. I don't know if you can count on 2 or 3 fourth down stops and a missed field goal. That is certainly playing with fire. When you talk about that specific game, too, it cannot be understated, though, the situation with Chase Mortlock's father passing away the week before. I think that was a very difficult time for the team as a whole. I know they attended the funeral during the week. I think that was sort of lightning in a bottle for South Dakota State as well. No one from the team would ever tell you that. No one from the coaching staff would ever tell you that, just because, you know, that could be construed as an excuse. But that was certainly something to think about, I think, as far as what had all gone on that week as well.
And is there anything that you think this Bison squad can take from last week's game specifically, looking at that San Diego team? They did have a pretty good tight end and wide receiver, but in your opinion, did they give them a good enough look to compare to these couple of playmakers that SDSU has?
Well, I don't know if – I mean, they're certainly not the players that Goddard and Winicky are, but we mentioned that going into the game last week that Riley and Dwelly were these huge guys, similar in the sense of Winicky and Goddard. In fact, the height-weight combinations are almost identical as far as, you know, their receiver being 6'3", the tight end being 6'5", Winicky 6'3", Goddard 6'5", similar frames. Not the athletes that South Dakota State has, but what they were doing to key on guys that size, I would guess would be a better look than the Bison scout team, you know, kids are going to be able to give. It was in a more competitive situation, certainly, than practice would be. You would hope, I guess, if you're a Bison fan, that yes, that they were able to get a look from Riley and Dwelly that would help them defend Goddard and Winicky better than they defended them in that game in October.
And when you look at the South Dakota State team, you look at the receiving options that have, Dallas Goedert is gigantic, and he absolutely tore apart the Bison defense, 11 receptions for 150 receiving yards and a touchdown. Again, how are they going to slow him down, Ross? This was going to be a point of emphasis going into that game, but NDSU didn't have an answer for him at the time. Do they have an answer for him now?
Well, he himself has been slowing down. If you're a Bison fan, you hope that, honestly, South Dakota State outsmarts itself. They have been establishing the traditional run game more in recent games. They have done a better job of controlling the clock. They've done a better job of utilizing the traditional run game. And if you're the Bison, that's what you're hoping for. Because if you know anything about this year's squad, although, boy, has it improved on the back end, specifically Dom Davis, this year's squad, I think, would much rather have you try to run the ball against them than to throw it 55 times, or at least have run-pass option 55 times, because their weakness, I would say, would be the ability to cover Goddard and then certainly the ability to contain Christian. Those would be the two things that you'd be scared of. So you hope that South Dakota State has 25 conventional rushing attempts, because you're probably thinking, if you're a Bison coach or fan, that that's where you're going to still have the advantage, especially if Tucker's able to play. But these defensive tackles that have replaced Tangway, and certainly Plank, who replaced DeLuca, those guys are really good run defenders, and I don't think there's any question about it. I think you're going to want to see the Jacks continue to try and develop this traditional running game against the Bison, because what they did against NDSU in October netted 500 yards of total offense.
And when you talk about that SDSU running attack, their last three games, you look at 3 games ago, they played South Dakota, and they rushed 52 times for 415 rushing yards and 4 rushing touchdowns. Again, we know that South Dakota's defense isn't the greatest. You look at what they did against Northern Iowa 2 weeks ago, only 34 rushing attempts for 134 yards, so just under 4 yards a carry for 2 rushing touchdowns. And then last week in that 10-7 victory over Villanova, they had tried to rush the ball 20 times but didn't have any success at all. And again, maybe that's something that they look to, but again, you think that they'd probably want to run the ball with Taryn Christian more, and they want to get Jake Wynicke involved, but are you really going to anticipate them to run the ball 20, 25 times?
No, I don't think I am. I mean, if you're South Dakota State, we talked about wanting, you know, hoping that they would outsmart themselves. I don't see that happening. I have a tremendous amount of respect for Stitt as a coach. I think he knows that his best chance is Taryn Christian. And I would anticipate, South Dakota State running the ball in an effort to keep the Bison defense honest, keep the pass rushers honest, but probably not running the ball as an actual point of strategy, as a point to try and win the game by running the ball. I think that Stig knows that that's pretty unrealistic.
And when you look at Taryn Christian specifically, I don't think the game plan going into the last game was that Taryn Christian was going to take off 20 times on the ground for 141 yards. NDSU is not going to be surprised this time around, but what is SDSU going to do to counter that, in your opinion?
Yeah, that was something, and the Bison aren't going to try to make excuses, but that was something that the coaching staff and the players flat out said they whiffed on. I mean, this was not something that they were scouting. The Christian QB run was not something that South Dakota State had shown on film. And the QB lead stuff and the QB draw stuff that they ran were largely unscouted looks. And that was something that I think Stig had in his back pocket specifically for that game. And that's all on film now. So South Dakota State is going to have to come up with a different wrinkle, because right now the Bison, you would have to think, are going to be completely prepared for the Christian run game. And we'll, I don't know if they'll be spying for him or if they'll be kind of muddling their pass rush and just staying in their lanes, making him throw the ball. That seems kind of dangerous as far as how easy it is for Winicky and Goddard to get open. But there is going to be, I think, a decidedly different look for the Bison defense in defending that that Goddard or that Christian run game for sure.
And when you look at the Bison on the offensive side of the ball, they should be much healthier, and they did struggle on third down some. So do you think that those two things are going to be something that's going to be a key for this Bison offense?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's what you hope if you are talking about NDSU's ability to compete a little bit more this time around in the total yardage contest. They got beat so badly last time as far as moving the ball, if not necessarily so badly on the scoreboard. But South Dakota State has not been a great defense. I think that the Bison struggled a little bit. I think Easton Stick struggled a little bit. But you have the full complement of offensive linemen, the full complement of tight ends, and most importantly, if you're trying to control the clock and keep the ball away from South Dakota State, which has been the Bison's recipe for success basically since Winicky got to school, you are going to be happy that Brock Robbins and Bruce Anderson are back and that the Bison have their complete arsenal as far as the backs are concerned, because you can use Morlock as a fullback only when you need to. Not when you have to. You can use Morlock then much more in the passing game. You can use him in the power run game. But you can get Anderson and Dunn on the edge in matchups against linebackers that they are faster than. And you can use King to grind on the front seven, certainly.
And when you look at this Jacks defense, this is a defense that hasn't exactly been playing really well at the right moment. They've given up 321 yards or more in back-to-back games, and that's more than what NDSU was able to put up at home last time. So that should be a benefit for this NDSU offense as well.
Yeah, you know, we talked a little bit about individual awards going to good players on weak defenses, and I think that's what you saw with Rosenboom having to make all these tackles, because I'm just not convinced that South Dakota State is that talented on defense. I think that the Bison really did struggle in that first contest against the Jacks. I think that was NDSU playing poorly, in addition to South Dakota State having a really good game plan. And that's sort of what has to happen for the Bison to lose these games. They have to play bad. The other team has to play well. If both teams are playing well, I think you probably favor North Dakota State, especially in the playoffs. And so I think what you're going to see on Saturday is a Bison offense that plays much better than they did in October and probably controls this game on the ground, because I just am still not convinced that South Dakota State is that good.
And when you look at this atmosphere that's going to be, should be electric tomorrow, in your opinion, has there ever been a time that this game is going to be more hyped up than the game tomorrow? Is there going to be an atmosphere that can compete with what should be absolutely phenomenal tomorrow?
Well, I think when you talk about the atmosphere in the Fargo Dome, the Georgia Southern playoff games come to mind, certainly. All the semifinal games were pretty lit up, but I think that this game with the comments from Coach Stiglmeyer, with the ankle injury to Anderson, with this being South Dakota State, with this being a game that the Bison lost earlier in the season, even though it's at 11 o'clock in the morning, I really do think that this specific game is going to be the loudest the Fargo Dome potentially has ever been. And I would, of course, encourage that if you're a Bison fan. I think that to affect this game would be in your best interest. I think that this is very similar to years past where I would say if North Dakota State can win this quarterfinal game, they become heavy favorites to win the national championship. And that happened a season ago. The Bison were not really even breathed on in the semifinals or in Frisco. I would anticipate something very similar this season. If the Bison can get past South Dakota State, I would say it would be clear-ish sailing to number six.
All right, let's get into this prediction part. NDSU, you already mentioned it, 8.5-point favorites. I think this is going to come down to a last-second Cam Peterson field goal. I'm saying it's 24-21. I say he connects from 44 on the right hash, and the Fargo Dome goes absolutely bonkers. I'm saying 24-21. Ross, what do you think about that, and what is your official Bison Report prediction?
See, this is where I'm going to surprise some people. I was blown away, really, by the response of the players after the San Diego game, as far as if they were scoreboard watching. Every single one, to a man, said, yep, we want South Dakota State. This is not a team that is going to talk about revenge, but this game is personal. I happen to know that the score of this game has been prominently featured in the locker room since it happened. This one's personal, and I think what is going to happen to South Dakota State on Saturday is going to be quite a bit uglier than people think. I have 38-17 Bison. I think that this is kind of going to be what South Dakota State has coming to them. I'm sure this is going to be an unpopular spread, an unpopular take, but I really do think that the Bison are going to roll.
You have anything else to say before we close things up for today's pod, Russ?
I've got nothing.
All right, so again, we thank you guys for listening. Let's hope that we have a major victory to talk about come Monday or Tuesday on the breakdown edition of this podcast. So again, for Ross, for myself, we thank you guys for listening. Check back to the Bison Report later today for a couple pieces from Ross, and get out there and be loud at the Fargo Dome tomorrow. Go Bison.